We're on Perek Chaf Beis in Malachim Aleph, the very, very end, Pasuk Yud Ches. So we just said that Michoihu was sent in. Ahab was trying to decide whether he should go to war with the Oshapat against the Ram. And the other prophets, meaning the false prophets, all got up there and they said, yeah, you should go, you're going to win.
What? Yehoshaphat was the one who was in doubt, right?
Yehoshaphat was the one who was in doubt, right. But Ahab was trying to decide which one, should he go, should he not. The prophets were saying, yeah, go. Tzidkiyah ben Kenana picked up those horns and gored it and said, this is how you're going to gore a ram. And then came, what's it called? Then came Michayahu, who was sent in by Yehoshaphat. Yehoshaphat said, I'm not going to do it. Michayahu was sarcastic. I said, sure, do whatever you want. And then told him, you're going to die at war. So the king said, right, the king says now, it's Pasuk Yechaz, you don't know if he saw Yehoshaphat. Hello, Omar. Elacha, didn't I tell you? Lo yisna ba'alai tov kimra. He never prophesies good, he only does bad. Therefore, said Michayu, listen to the word of God. I saw Hashem standing at his throne, and all the hosts of the heavens were standing on his right and his left. It's a pretty awesome nevuah from Michayu. Reminds you of Yechezkel or Yeshaya. You know, what they saw in their crazy prophecy, seeing God on his throne.
Is this the only place that Isaiah was actually mentioned? Like, he was mentioned
in
before.
We did not have it directly before. That is correct.
But this is like his...
Yeah, this is where they actually do it.
He doesn't appear later.
That is correct. We're not going to see him any other time. Remember, Shemiyafat is Achav, by Yalvi Yipol for Ramos Gilad. Who's going to seduce Achav and he'll fall by Ramos Gilad? Each one gave an example of what they could do to convince Achav to fall. There was a spirit that came in front of Hashem, Yomani Yafatenu, Yomani Hashem, Yilav Bamal. I will seduce him, said the Ruach, and Hashem said, with what? I'm going to be a false ruach in the mouths of all of his prophets. You should do so, and you will succeed. Save Atikim, but you have to get out of here because I don't have wise in my area. And go do that. That spirit is now in the mouths of all of your prophets, said Michayu, and Hashem has spoken bad about you, and therefore you are about to die. So the other ones were not real prophets; they were hearing a false prophecy, like a demonic possession, so to speak. That was allowing them to think that way. But you guys said Yobin Kanan. See, Yobin Kanan, the bad guy, came up, Yakes Michayu Alachi, slapped him in the face. Since when did the Spirit of God leave me to go to you? When did that ever happen? He said to him. You should know that's going to happen to you on that day. You're going to go inside rooms to get away because you're going to realize that the people are going to kill you for the fact that you convinced Ahab to go to war. What were you saying?
This prophecy, like this whole thing of this, get away from my presence because I can't have Sheker by me. What? It's like almost saying, go, like, I know you're there, I just don't want to know what you're doing. Like, I know what you're doing, just don't tell me that you're doing it.
Okay, I definitely hear.
It's very, I don't know the right word for it, but...
I don't know how it works exactly, especially when you deal with a ruach like this. It seems to be almost an impossibility to fully understand it. Nonetheless, this was the one. Use this for right now, because we don't have... This is on the Noachim Beis. So we're going to be done with this soon. Story of Rechaz Yehoshaphat, Vahima Omru Achmel Hisrohu. So in the Pasuk Lamed Beis, it says, I skipped right over here. Vahima Melech Yisrohu, Kachaz Michayu, Vashivehu, Amon Sarair. The king Yisrohu said, take Michayu, give him over to Amon, the general of the city of Yosh Ben Amelech. But Marta Koamar Amelech, this is what the king says, Zahachav says, Simu Ezeb Beit HaKela, put him in jail, Vachivu Lechem Lachatz, Maim Lachatz. Feed him bread of oppression and water of oppression. I believe Yisrohu was come back in peace. If you come back in peace, I'll willingly die, because that means Hashem never spoke.
Didn't we do this already?
Yeah, we just did that. We're just going over these parts. And he said, listen, all nations, all of you. King of Yehuda went to Ramos Gilad. Okay, he said to him, listen, I'm going to disguise myself when I go into war, said Achav. I want you to wear your own clothes. He went into the war, Ahav, right, and went into battle, disguising himself, not letting people know that he was the actual king. He told his 32 officers of the chariot, saying, do not fight the Jews, small or big, only the king of Israel. When they saw Yehoshaphat, they said, that must be the king of Israel. They turned him to go wage war against Yehoshaphat. Yehoshaphat cried out to a HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shaphat was chayiv for dying because he went out to war against Ahav, even though he knew that Ahav was supposed to die. Shaphat said, well, listen, Ahav's going to die. That doesn't mean I'm going to die. So he figured that that was the only person who was going to die. Shaphat should not have done that. He should have immediately turned around and said to Ahav, this is not the right thing to do. That's what he should have said to Ahav. You're going to die. I don't want you to die in this war. He should have turned around and walked away. He didn't do that, so he was almost killed. Because he davened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he was saved by Yikro, sorry, when the officers of the chariot saw he wasn't the king of Israel, they turned around because they were told not to fight against anybody but the king of Israel. That's what they were told. Lamed Dalet, what's up?
Wouldn't that be a prophecy almost to go to war? Because if you know there are barely any casualties, mm-hmm. every war there are casualties. This one, it sounds like they can gain more than they'll lose one person in the end of the day.
I don't know what you mean.
Like, that this sounds like a pretty good prophecy. Only one person's going to die in this war. Why not go?
No, but the one person who's going to die is the only guy that wants to go. Ahav.
Oh, no,
I hear what you're saying. Like, meaning, you can fight the war, and that's really what you're saying. You can fight the war, but Ahav's going to die. So Ahav, who's deciding whether to go to this war or not, should have said, no, I'm not going to go.
Remind me, what's this war over then?
It was Aram the second time around. That's what was happening.
But I think what he's saying is, Ahav wants to go to war. He's willing to put his life on the line. They could gain far more than they'll lose. He knows he's going to die, and he's going to war anyway. So go to war and kill as many of the enemies as you possibly can.
See, I definitely hear. I don't know if that's the way wars worked back then. We're going to see that as soon as Ahav dies, the people just backed off. They were done. Once the leader was gone, there was no reason to fight anymore. I don't know if this is a war in order to conquer land, or a war because Aram was fighting them, or something like that. Who knows? Yeah, we don't know exactly what it is. But at the end of the day, what Ahav should have done is, I guess, overtures, or try to get around in a different way. And that's what Yehoshaphat should have said. Be'ish Moshav Bekashas L'sumo. This, we said, there was a guy drew his bow without even aiming. Be'akas Mal Yisrael Ben Advokim. And he nailed the king of Israel between the plates of his armor, Ben Asir Yon. Right? By Yomer L'Rakavo, he said to his rider, turn yourself around. Get me out of this war, because I am now very, very sick. It's possibly didn't want the people to be disheartened. It's possible that's the reason why. We say that the guy who did this was Naaman, the famous Naaman from later on. But really, the Pusik could have been a Jew. It didn't have to be a person from Aram. Pusik Lamed Hey. Batalim Ochom Abiyamahu. The war was very fierce on that day. Vamelech Yamamad Bamerkava. He stood propped up in the chariot. What do you got?
It says in the brackets here, a man of Aram in brackets. And then the note over here says, see Malachim Beis Hey Aleph.
Hey, Aleph. Well, either way, over here, this was referring to this. But, you know, let's go on. It says, he was facing Vamelech HaYamam V'merkav Nochach Aram. He was opposite Aram. Vayamas Ba'orev. He died that evening. Vayitek Damamaka Ochek HaRechev. The blood of the wound poured out on the floor of the chariot. It was the strength of Ahav that allowed him to be up for that long while he was dying. He was able to stand up and help his people in war as if he wasn't dead. Vayavor Arina B'machmeh Kibor HaShemesh Leimor Yishol Yirov Yishol Herzel. And that's what I was talking about. As soon as it went out, right when the sun set, everybody said, everybody go back. Each man go back to the city, back to the land. Ahav's dead. There's no reason for us to fight anymore. By Yamas HaMelech, he died. By Yavo Shomron, they brought him to Shomron. By Yibur HaMelech Shomron, and they buried him in Shomron. By Yishuv Zerechav Al-Brechus Shomron, and they washed the chariot out by the pools of the Shomron. By Yaloku HaKlovim HaSdamo, the dogs licked up his blood. And the prostitutes washed there. Sitting by that thing, right, it was a disgrace. Right, Kidvar HaShem HaShadibar, like the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Some say that it means real Zonos. Others say that, remember, we said his chariot was filled with pictures of zonas, and that's what it meant, that even the zonas were washed out of that area right over there. Yehoshaphat said Yehoshaphat was got this anger, but we'll see what happens. Pasuk Lamed Tes, yesterday by Ahav Kolasher also based on Sha'in Asher Bana. So all the other things that Ahav did and everything that he had made, right, as well as the ivory castle that he had built, the Kol Orim Asher Bana, and all the cities that he built, Halloween Ksuvim Mas Divrei Yam the Malchus Yisrael, written the Sefer Divrei Yam, which we don't have. Ahav slept with his fathers, and Ahaziah, his son, ruled after him. And we said Ahav's life was a true tragedy. He was always, he had things, he had a continual conflict between good and evil, which was going with Abu Zarah and not. the ivory over here is supposed to be a great marvel. The walls, the floors, and the furnishings were all made of iron. Of all made of ivory, I'm sorry.
So I don't know.
It's like six elephants. It's a crazy amount of ivory. I have no idea how you can have that much. I know, obviously. The amount of ivory that you would need to make it, just a room. Just a room.
They're not indigenous.
Out of the ivory. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what that is. How he was able to make that much ivory is ridiculously hard.
It was called the Emerald House because it had a lot of ivory in it, but not necessarily was built out of ivory.
You have to say that. I don't know how it could be otherwise. The amount of elephants and rhinos and whatever it is that else that has ivory that you'd have to kill is ridiculous. To make a house out of ivory. It's
the rhino's horn is ivory?
Yeah, well, it's keratin.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is keratin. But in theory, I guess you could say it's somewhat close. What else is ivory? A narwhal?
Is it?
No, it's a tooth. Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's ivory. Because whales are also their elephants are also their teeth. So I don't know what else it is. I don't know what else.
Did you hear they killed that elephant in Kenya with the biggest head, the biggest tusks like of any elephant?
Oh, really?
His elephant, I saw a picture, like went down to the ground, and they found this elephant dead with his tusks pulled out.
Of course they did. Of course they did. All right, Pasuk Mem Aleph over here. Yoshafat ben Asa Malach al Yehuda, Bishnas Arba la'Achav. So Yoshafat the son of Asa was the king of Yehuda. He started his kingdom in the fourth year of Achav Melech Yisrael. Yoshafat ben Shloshim Mechamei Shonim B'Molcho. He was 35 years old when he became king. Ve'Asrim Mechamei Shonim Malach Yerushalayim. He was king for 25 years in Yerushalayim. That's a good amount of time for Yoshafat. Shem Imo Azuma Bas Shulchi. His mother's name was Azuma Bas Shulchi. And the reason why we mention his mother is done in one of two ways. Either it's because his mother was a tremendous Rasha, or his mother was a tremendous tzaddikus. It's one of the two. Vayelach b'chol derech Asa Avi. If he went in the ways of Asa, his father, lo sor mimenu lasos yashar b'nei Hashem, he did not turn away to do what's good in the eyes of Hashem. Achabamos lo saru od. Right? Lo saru. He did not turn away from the bamos. I mean, the bamos remained as is. Oda on mizabchim u'makashim abamos. The people were still shechting and sacrificing on bamos. Yashalim Yoshafat in Melech Yisrael. Yoshafat made peace with the king of Israel. For the first time in over five generations, the kingdoms of Yisrael and Yehuda were together as one. That's where it went in. Look at Pasuk Mem Bav over here. We're in Parak Chav Beis Mem Bav. Everything Yoshafat did, all of his strength, his greatness, the way he waged war, it's all written in Divrei Yom Lamalchi Yehuda, and there is a lot in Divrei Yom Lamalchi, and we'll get to it in a second. All the other prostitution that was left in the land from the days of Asa's father, Yoshafat got rid of it. He made sure that people were not only not worshipping Avodah Zarah, but they weren't doing Gilead rites as well. Melech in Be'edom Nitzav Melech. Right? There was no king over Edom at this time. The governor was the king at that time. The reason why that's important is to know that this is the time when Malchus Yehuda has been so strong. Edom at this time had gone down. Now, what happened exactly with this? There was a crazy little thing.
Governor from Yehuda.
Governor of Yehuda.
Meaning that there was a vassal state of Yehuda.
That's interesting. It says over here that what happened over here was Yoshafat, right? What Yoshafat did was there were tons of people that were giving him tribute and things like that. He went around and he made people teachers throughout all of Israel. And he allowed everybody to start learning everything what the Torah was trying to say. There were no Ami Aratzim throughout the land of Yoshafat. People had a fear of God when they saw Yoshafat. They didn't want to fight B'nai Yisrael. For that reason, they were willing to fight Achav, but they wouldn't fight Yoshafat because they felt it was good. The Plishtim gave him tributes of silver. The Arabs brought him sheep, rams, he-goats, etc., all these different things. Yoshafat started building cities. He built castles. He built storage houses. He built up all the different things, and he made generals all around to be able to make sure that everything was over there. Now, Yoshafat set up judges all over the place. And in the end, Moab and Ammon started losing the respect for Yoshafat because they saw that Yoshafat was friends with Achaz. When that happened, Moab and Ammon came to Ein Gedi. It's called Chatzon Tamar, which was Ein Gedi. They wanted to fight against Yoshafat. Yoshafat davened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the base of Mikdash. Yehuda was all standing there crying, etc., etc. They got a Nevuah. The Nevuah came and told them, you are going to go down. You are not going to fight, Yoshafat was told. Do not fight. Just go there and you'll see what's going to happen. They went down to that area and they saw that the people of Moab and Ammon, when they tried to go wage war against Yoshafat, they tripped over each other, started fighting each other, killed each other, and Yoshafat and his men were just sitting there watching. And all they did, they didn't even open up, they didn't even take out a weapon. They just walked down to the camp, took all the spoils. Every single person from Moab and Ammon was either killed or ran away. That they had done everything on their own. That had happened. Jehoshaphat saw that, went back to Jerusalem and told everybody about it, grabbed all the silver and gold and everything they had in the camps, and it was a tremendous bracha for everybody. Now Jehoshaphat, let's finish off this the parash. Jehoshaphat also on Neil's Tarshish. Now Jehoshaphat also made ships that were at Tarshish. Lelechas Ophir Elazov. They were to go to Ophir in order to get gold. In other words, to go down to Africa and get more gold. Just like Shlomo Melech. There had not been a navy since Shlomo Melech, the little halach, but they weren't able to go. Nishbru Anios Be'etzion Gaber. They had all broken when they got to Eilat. In the area right by the Red Sea, which is known as Etzion Gaber, which nowadays is known as Eilat.
Where did they take off from? Maybe they just like started sailing and then just broke?
Well, either they were right there and they broke, or something like that. Maybe they broke by the coral reef right around there. You could be say a bunch of different things, but either way, something happened. Then Ahaziah, the son of Ahaz, said to Jehoshaphat, "Let my servants go with your servants in these ships." Jehoshaphat said, "No." Jehoshaphat understood the reason why his ships were destroyed was because he was friends with Rishayim like Ahaz. So when Ahaziah, the son of Ahaz, said, "Hey, I want to be with you. Let me bring, you know, bring my stuff with you." To that, Jehoshaphat said, "Absolutely not. I've learned my lesson. I'm not going to be friends with you guys ever again." And he wouldn't let him go through. But Yishkav Yoshaphat and Mabosab.
I don't like that answer.
What's
because
that?
You're supposed to be friends with them. They're Jews. It doesn't matter that they're Rishayim. You're still supposed to be friends with them.
Mm-hmm. There's a difference between somebody who had that type of influence. Maybe we're right in that Yoshaphat was allowed to be friends with them as long as he was convincing them to do the right thing. But if he wasn't convincing them to do the right thing, then him standing there was not a cure of mission, so to speak. It was only sitting there and being affected by those Rishayim.
Well, why does it have to be either or? Why can't it be something in the middle where it's like, while you maintain when you maintain a relationship with somebody, even if he's a Russian, that keeps him, you know, the minute you throw him away, that's his last connection to something holy,
okay.
And that'll completely send him
away. So two things on that. Number one, this is a business deal. Do you have to do a business deal with that? Maybe you could still be friends. You have to do a business deal. Should you? That's number one. Number two, Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat was a king. This is not just some guy. Jehoshaphat was a king of Yehuda who could force his way through. Jehoshaphat should have been able to tell these guys, "No, you have to keep mitzvahs." That's what his job is. See, the king of Yehuda is not like a regular king.
Right,
these guys have to be able to say that.
Yeah, but his rulership didn't have effect in the northern in Israel.
Maybe he could have. And maybe that's what they were saying. Jehoshaphat could have had that effect, and he didn't. Like we were saying before, he was punished for not telling Ahab, "Listen, you shouldn't go to war." He should have told them that. And we're going to see what Jehoshaphat does to himself because of that. Either way, I hear the question. I think it's a good question. I'm thinking that that's the answer. So Jehoshaphat died with his fathers. He was buried with his fathers in Ir David, meaning he was a tzaddik good enough to be buried in Ir David, Aviv. His son Yehoram became king instead. Ahaziah, the son of Ahab, became king in Israel in the Shomron in the 17th year of Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah. He ruled over Bnei Yisrael for 2 years. He was evil. He went in the ways of his dad, in the ways of his mom, Jezebel. In the ways of Yerubim and Avot, he caused others to sin. He worshipped Baal, and he bowed down to it. He did evil and did what was angering God. Everything his father did, he continued. Some say that it wasn't exactly 2 years, and he counted all the way through. It was really about 7 months that he had been king. The reason why I counted it as 2 years is that he had become king right before Nisan, and then Nisan hit, and that's the Rosh Hashanah for kings, so then he was king for a couple months after that. But he's really only king for 6 or 7 months, and that's that. Okay, that's the end of Malachim Aleph. Let's go to Malachim Beis. Let's turn over to Malachim Beis and let's start this all off over here. We got Perek Aleph. Yeah, unfortunately. Well, it's not the end. Malachim is not two different Sfarim.
No.
It was split up this way. Yeah, but it's not us that separates this. These are all Malachim. That's all it is.
This is a very arbitrary place to stop.
We kept all the Pesukim.
Yeah, but this is a very arbitrary place to stop. I mean, Shmuel Aleph and Shmuel Bet is like a kind of a turning point. Where are we going into the kingship and Avodah?
I hear you. I definitely hear you.
Oh, okay. Let's just...
You know, Perek Beis would make a lot of sense because Eliyahu dying would be a good place to start it off. Perek Beis would probably make a little bit more sense. But again, I don't know. I don't know if anybody put that much Kofma into it. You know, we didn't do this. So I don't know how much Kofma actually went into it. Well, what?
It was one long number.
No, well, Noachim was. And Shmuel was. Right, but the other ones are split. Lachman and Shmuel were basically the size of Yeshaya and Yirmiyahu.
And also Ezra Nechemiah, right? Is that one book?
Ezra Nechemiah is one book, that's for sure. Dibra Yamim, Aleph and Beis is all one book. Those are all together. But the other ones, you know, obviously the small ones also. Rus is still small. No, not in our school. They were not powerful enough. Okay, Pasuk Aleph. It says, Vayisha Moab Yisrael Kore Mos Achav. So Moab rebelled against Bnei Yisrael after the death of Achav. Achav had his things. During his reign, Moab was always afraid of Achav, like they were afraid of Yehoshaphat. Nonetheless, they never fought. Once he died, that's when Moab decided they're going up against. So Ahazio, remember this is the son of Achav, he fell through the lattice of the rooftop, Asher B'Shomron, in his palace of B'Shomron. I don't know what that means. I don't know if he was pushed. I don't know if he just walked on it and he fell right through. I would assume that he was like showing off or doing something on the rooftop, but it says, Vayochal, he got very sick. He sent messengers, go ask Beelzebub. You know Beelzebub? Beelzebub from Bohemian Rhapsody? The old Queen song? Mm-hmm. Beelzebub, the devil pulled aside for me? That's Beelzebub. Baal Zvuv is one of the Baal ones. Baal Por, Baal Tzapon,
Baal Zvuv. Means the owner of the flies.
Lord of the flies.
Lord of from the famous book, right? It is. It's Lord of the Flies. It's a type of Avodah Zarah that was Baal Zvuv. It probably looked like a massive fly. That's probably what it was. But Beelzebub is the translation of it in English.
He was one time looking at something and he actually found something in like non-Jewish writings about
there's Christian midrashim about Beelzebub.
There's
about who he is. He's the right hand man.
There's archaeological like and historical records of all these gods.
Oh, for sure. No, there's no question about that.
Lord of the Flies. Does that have anything to do with?
No, nothing to do with the Lord.
Did you go to Seventh Grade Archon?
Yeah, I did. Never read the book.
That didn't matter. Anyway, it said, but we all did. But he saw Malachim Yomer Aleihem. He sent messengers and he said to them, "Lechudir Shabbal Zuvelo Hey Ekron, the God of Ekron." Right, this is a God of Ekron, probably Plishti. In Echem Mechalizah, will I die from this thing over here? From what's happening? Some say that the Svachol was a spiral staircase and he fell down the staircase. Case. Now this is awesome. A Malach Hashem said to Elia Hatishbi. Remember, anytime where there's a vav missing, it's because the vav was taken by Yaakov Avinu to fade. You should know all the vavs that are missing in Elia Hanavi. It's second one, the Heshiv Levavos. You know, Hineinu Hishalech Lachemes Elia Hanavi. All the other places where it's missing a vav is right here in this parak.
So I've seen that wrong.
Okay. Yes, everybody does. It's all Tzvekis' fault. Kum ale likras malach and malach shomron. Go get up and meet those messengers of the king of Shomron, v'dibra aleim, and tell them, Hamibli en alim b'Yisrael, is there no God in Israel? Atam hokum lidrush baal zvuv elohi ekron, that you have to go to baal zvuv, the God of Ekron, v'lachin kol ma'ashem, this is what God says, amit asher alisa shom lo serid mimena. The bed that you have gone up upon, you will not go down from it. Kimos tamus v'yelech Elia. So you will surely die. And Elia went to go tell him. That's number two. Okay. The messengers came back to Achaz. What's going on here? Said not Achav, Achazio. Achazio said, "What do you come back for? What in the world? What did you? Why did you come back so quickly?" There's a man who came to greet us. And he said to us, "Go back to the king. Shoshalach has come who sent you. And tell him, That was an exact quote. What did the guy look like? The guy that you met, right? He spoke to you as a and he said these things. So pasachas vayomrei love. They said to him, "Ish bal seir. He's a man with a lot of hair. The Azov or Azur the Masnav. Azor or he was wearing a leather belt on his loins." But remember Leah Tishbi, who he said, "That's Elio Anavi. Who else has hair in a leather belt? There's no one else who has that." That's Elio Anavi. What?
Achazia never met Elio before.
No, he did. Achazia said that. The messengers hadn't. The messengers didn't recognize Eliyahu HaNavi.
Oh.
So maybe it's because Eliyahu HaNavi hadn't gotten a haircut in a while that he was a Nazir. Maybe it was for some other reason, but we don't know. We have no idea why they didn't recognize
him. Why did they describe him as hairy, though?
That's a good question. Now, there are two different types of people that have hair. Hair can be a sign of tuma, something that's bad. Hair can also be a sign of something that's good. Korach, for example, is a bad example. Or Rabbi Akiva was also known as bald, and yet he was good. The funny thing about it is that Elisha, later on, is going to be known as bald. So Eliyahu HaNavi having a lot of hair obviously means something. But what it is probably pure Kabbalah. Yes, even people back then.
Nah. Well, Leo definitely did.
I'm sure. Like male pattern baldness was an issue then as well. So Alicia had it, and
our bodies.
And Leo definitely did. But there's always something to it if you're being described that way. Why are you being described as bald or not? So there's a famous Rav Wolfson. There's a famous Igor de Kala. There's a famous Phineas Susker. But that's for a couple of stuff. I used to talk about Sarah Hamisha and Hamisha. He sent an officer of 50 with his 50. By Yahweh, they came up to Eliyahu and Avi, and Yoshev al Rosh Ahor, he was sitting on top of a mountain. By Yahweh, Isha Elohim, Hamelech Diber, Reda, man of God, the king had said, come down. Now it could be that the guy had spoken to Eliyahu and Avi arrogantly because he didn't really feel that there was a God. By Eliyahu, Daber al Sarah Hamisha, and Isha Elohim, if I am that man of God that you speak of, carried Eshmin Ishmael Mesochol, Shovet Hamishacha, then a fire should come down from the heavens and consume you and your 50 men. By carried Eshmin Ishmael Mesochol, Shovet Hamisha, and a fire from the heavens came down. Now, first of all, holy cow. The first thing you got to ask on this, what did they do? The 50 men were like, what the heck? What did we do over here?
Who's there to retell the story?
What?
Yeah, but okay, he's telling the story about him performing a miracle.
Oh, that's like a miracle. I would assume, remember, this is all written with Ruach HaKodesh. But hold on. Yeah. Wait, the 50 men didn't come back, so we're going to see something happen.
I always had one guy just saying they're writing everything down. You ever seen, like, how he used the word?
Who wrote Malachim?
A few people.
Chizkiah of the Siato, says the Gemara. Chizkiah and Hilman.
Chizkiah died before the end of Malachim.
And the end of it is written by Ezra, so the Gemara Bavas.
By Ezra, Bavas,
and Dalit.
I thought
it was...
No, the end of it was written by...
Yirmiah, right?
Yeah, you might be right. I don't remember. I'd have to check out the Gemara. I don't have the Gemara on me. Either way, but it does say that. So in the end, right, he said, you've defied God openly. You clearly don't believe in our Kodesh Baruch Hu, and for that reason, he gave them a chance.
Do you believe God or not?
When he didn't say anything, they died.
The officer. Tomorrow,
we're going to see that. We're going to see that very soon. They could be. Yeah, probably, because they all died. Why fire? He wanted to remind everybody of the previous miracle that Eliyahu had done before that had the fire with Har Carmel. He wanted to remind everybody about that. Yeah, on top of the mountain.
Was Eliyahu, I feel like he's like Midas Adin.
He is.
And also,
he was a Kanoi, remember.
Right. And Elisha too.
Well, he killed 42 kids.
Right, but Elisha got criticized for turning away Gehazi.
And for the 42 kids.
Right, how can we never hear that about Eliyahu?
Eliyahu Navi, this might have been his whole mode. I don't know. I don't know if he ever was able to get over that. You should know that Eliyahu Navi, what's that line in Sanhedrin at the very, very end, Mamash, the very, very end, Kufiyot Gimel, where one of the Amorayim said, Eliyahu Navi is a Kanoi. So Eliyahu Navi stopped coming to him.
The Gilgul of Pinchas or something.
Well, however it is, but he said he's a Kanoi. So Eliyahu Navi stopped coming to him for 3 days. After 3 days, he said to him, I tell you, Rav Acha, Rav Abba, he said to him, why didn't you come to me for the past 3 days? He said, you called me a Kanoi. He said, Horaya, that you're a Kanoi. That's exactly what I meant. That shows you that you are. Either way, this is what came down. It consumed them all, and that was that.
Rabbi Yoshua and Levi used to meet with Rabbi.
Yeah, he did also. That's the Gemara Ksuvos, not this one. Yeah. And the Malcolm Others. Yeah.
Don't we usually, like, kind of criticize Eliyahu for doing things like
this? We always do. I mean, listen, we don't say that Eliyahu was a nice guy. He was punished, remember. He goes to every bris. That's not easy. It's not easy. And I know this sounds like, well, he's
getting free breakfast every day.
Like, I don't know if he eats. He doesn't get to eat. He's just there for the bris part. I don't know if that's awesome. Also, by the way, as a side note, he may have done this to intimidate Ahaziah. He may have done this to show that I can't come to Ahaziah directly because that's dangerous. He was waiting for a nevuah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to go. When the nevuah never came, he realized he's not supposed to go. Anyway, but Yashav Yishlach Elov Sar Chamisha Masher.
Did he just kill Ahaziah?
So, what?
He just killed Ahaziah.
No, not yet. He's about to die. But Yashav Yishlach Elov Sar Chamisha Masher. So Ahaziah sent another officer of 50, the Chamishim and his 50 men, by Yami Dabari Lovi Shohim, and the man of God said to him, Kolam Aramel Mehera Reda. The king says, quickly come down. If I am a man of God, then a fire should come down and consume you and your 50. So here we go. A third officer of 50 came with his 50. So he came up, this third guy, by Yichrael Berkov. He bent down to his knees. Opposite Eliyahu, by Yitzchanan Elov, he begged him, by Yidaber Elov Yishalohim, man of God, Tikar no nafshi, let my soul be worth something to you. And all 50 of your servants, they should all be holy in your eyes. A fire came down from the heavens and consumed the first two officers of 50, as Chamishim in their 50s. Tikar nafshi beinecha, allow my life to be pressed in your eyes, do not kill me. By Yidaber Malach Hashem Eliyahu, raid. it's time for you to go down. Go down with him. Don't be afraid of him. Once he heard that, then I got Rishos, then Eliyahu went down. He said to him, this is what Eliyahu said to Ahaziah, because you had sent messengers to go check out Baal-Zebub, Elohe Akram, is there no other God of Israel? To ask his word, you heard exactly what I said before. Your messenger has already told you. You're going to die. By Yom Kippur Hashem, he did die. Like the word of God is Yehuda. In the second year of Yehoram ben Yehoshaphat, the king of Judah, Yehoram became king. This is Yehoram, the son of Ahaziah, who is king at the same time that Yehoram was king of
Yehoram ben Yehoshaphat.
Of Yehoshaphat, the king of Yehuda. Okay, so it's a little bit hard to remember. Okay, this is he didn't have a son. This is Yehoram. This is just Tom Yehoram. There was nothing. Ahaziah did not have a son. Everything else that is written is in Dibra Yamim Lamalchus Yisrael.
Wait, Yehoram is not Ahaziah's son?
No, it is not. I can't remember how it's related. And why did I not notice that? He is... I believe Yehoram was a brother. He's another son of Ahaz.
Yeah, it says here in brackets, his brother Yehoram right in his place.
Okay, that makes sense. That's going to be, so we had his son Yehoram. Okay, fine, that's that. The first question is, you got to ask, wait a second, Yehoshaphat should not have been dead yet. What does it mean in the second year of Yehoram? If this guy Ahaziah was only king for 6 or 7 months, how is it possible that Yehoshaphat's son was there? No, but it's possible. Yehoshaphat should still have been alive for a couple years when Yehoram, son of Ahab, was in charge.
Right.
So what happened? So the Navi says an unbelievable thing. Says that Yehoshaphat, once he had done something wrong by going out to war with Ahab and caused Ahab to be killed, and he was almost killed at war, was so angry at himself, he took himself down, he considered himself not fit to reign any longer, and he allowed his son Yehoram to be crowned in his place.
Yeah, abdicated.
Yeah.
But why can't we forwarding a few years now where Yehoshaphat died, Yehoram becomes king, and now Yehoram, it's a time when Yehoram is already, the other Yehoram, Ben Ahab, is
king. He said Yehoram became king in his place in the second year of Yehoram, the son of Yehoshaphat.
Okay, so...
It wasn't. Yehoram was the king immediately when Ahaziah died.
No, it's because this is the next question. Okay, and then there's like a space. There's a space.
Yeah.
Sorry, here.
Yeah.
So this space could be a space of, meaning telling you that now several years later, let's fast forward to the second year.
There were a couple years where there was no one alive.
No.
There was no one king.
No. There was king. Meaning Ahaziah died, Yehoram became king. But the Navi doesn't tell us anything that happens during these years.
No, but every time the pasuk does that, it's always to tell you Yehoram just became king in this year, to tell you how it relates to the other side. They always do that. We've done that by every king so far. To tell you in comparison, it was this year of Asaph's reign. It was this year of Yehoshaphat's reign. So it would be weird to do that for the first time over here. Could be. I just said it would be a little bit weird. Part Beis. We don't have that much time, so we'll do as much as we can over here. This is the best parak in the world, by far, one of the craziest prakim. This is what happened when Eliyahu and Navi was taken up by a storm in Shemayim. You always hate it when the end, you read the last page of the book first. Like the Navi just tells you, oh, by the way, Eliyahu and Navi is about to go up in a storm in Shemayim. Let me tell you what happened. Never.
So why?
Wouldn't it make sense this would be the beginning of Malachim Beis?
The Navi doesn't speak like this.
Elisha and Gilgal. That doesn't mention anywhere. Elisha and Eliyahu went to Gilgal. Now here's the pshat. Eliyahu and Navi was not sure where he was going to die. So he went to all the holy places of Eretz Yisrael. And he went to level number one, which was Gilgal. Vayomer Eliyahu Elisha, Shev na po ki Hashem shlachani ad Beis El. Sit here, because now I have to go to Beis El. Vayomer Elisha, chai Hashem achay nashu chayim azdako, vayir to Beis El. So I swear to you, I'm not leaving you. And they went to Beis El. Now, Gilgal was the site of the first Mishkan. That was the area where they gave him a bris milah. They had the stones taken out from the Jordan River were put up in Gilgal. It symbolized the observance of Torah and Hashem's mitzvos. So Eliyahu Navi thought, listen, if I should give over my Nevuah over to Elisha, it should be here in Gilgal. This is a good place. But Elisha said, I'm not leaving you. I'm not going until you're dead. This was a challenge. Elisha, you could be leader right now. Do you want to be leader right now? And Elisha said, no. I'd rather you be alive. I'd rather you be in charge. I'm going to follow you to Beis El. But Yisrael ben Navi, Beis El, Elisha. Nevi'im, the sons of the Nevi'im, in other words, the Talmidim of Eliyahu Hanavi that were in Beis El, they came to Elisha, and they said to him, did you know that today God is taking your master from before you? Did you know that Eliyahu Hanavi is supposed to die today? These B'nai Nevi'im had already prophesied that Eliyahu Hanavi was supposed to die today. So they said to Yosha, they said to Elisha, did you know that? Vayomar gamani yadati hachashu. I know that. Be silent. Okay. Now, vayomar lo Elisha, shev na po. Sit here. Kesham shalachan Yericho. Hashem has sent me over to Yericho. Vayomar chay Hashem b'chay nachalim nezvekav yavu Yericho. They came to Yericho. Now, Beis El was also a holy place. That's where Yaakov saw the dream with the ladder. Right. That's where he came back and he made a korban over there. Beis El is where they had all the different levels of prophecy because all the B'nai Nevi'im were situated there. So he said, if you leave now, then the spirit of prophecy will never leave.
Managed to walk from Gilgal to Beis El to Yericho in one day?
I don't know if it was one day.
But it says, because it says today, ki hayom, Hashem lokechet mihayom.
Well, maybe
today.
He went from here to the next place. I don't know. That's a good question.
Far along.
Yeah, maybe Skid said that. But you're right. That is weird. I don't know how far he did go. Maybe Gilgal and Beis El were not on the same day, but Beis El and Yericho were on the same day. Beis El and Yericho are close to one another. Not close,
right.
A couple hours, maybe.
Okay.
So maybe that's possible over there. Maybe. So what would you think? Did they really think that Elisha didn't know? Elisha was a Navi. He was the greatest Talmud of Eliyahu Navi. How did he not know? So some say an unbelievable thing. Elisha never had a prophecy before. This the first time he had a prophecy was after Eliyahu Navi died. He had never been a prophet up until Eliyahu Hanavi had given him prophecy. So maybe he didn't know. Maybe he absolutely didn't have any idea whatsoever. That's that. Others say, right, that the way that the Talmid and Nevi'im knew is because a Talmid of a Navi can tell when the ultimate Navi is gone. Because when the ultimate Navi is going, their level of prophecy lowers itself to a lower level. And that's what happened to them. They felt their Nevuah getting lower, and they turned to Elisha and said, is your Nevuah getting lower as well? Because ours is. Right? They weren't sure, because Elisha may have been on such a level that he wouldn't feel it if Eliyahu Navi was dying that day. But Elisha told them, no, I'm also being affected. I'm also being affected, my Nevuah is also being affected. And that's what they were saying.
It couldn't be more of like almost I don't know. You know how you like kind of go around even if you know somebody knows something.
I hear you. Just like a simple like, oh man, is it really happening today?
Yeah.
Right, that's the idea. Very, very good. Yeah, for
kind
sure.
Kind of like the reception. Eliyahu is the biggest antenna and he's starting to go, so the reception.
Exactly. That's the idea behind it, that the reception is going out and all the TVs near it or a satellite. The sons of the prophets who were in Yericho came to Elisha. Do you realize that Hashem is taking your master away from you? I know. But Yemelo Elio. Okay, Elio says, Shiv na po, ki Hashem shalachani yargena. Stay here. Because Hashem is sending me to the Jordan River. Yomar chai, Hashem chai nashon, mezvaka v'yokushnein. I'm not going to leave you. And that's that. Now, Yericho is the site where the angel appeared to Yoshua and told him the whole thing. That's also the site where Yoshua had a working curse that was being fulfilled at all times over there. Now, these people, right, he told them, not only are you going to be perfect and entire, not only will Nevuah stay with you for the rest of your life, you're now going to be able to perform miracles as well. You don't have to go any further with me. So Elisha said, I don't care. I'm still going to Yericho. I'm still going to go to wherever you go. I want to be ascend with you to heaven if I have to. That's what he was willing to do. We're going to stop with this pasuk. Pasuk Zion. The 50 men, the B'nai Nevi'im, they stood from afar. They looked at them, and the two stood at the Jordan River. Elisha was way above any of the other B'nai Nevi'im. Nobody else could come anywhere near where Elio and Elisha were. Elisha was on such a level that only he and Elio and were able to go into the Jordan River, which is about to be split by Eliyahu Hanavi. We'll stop with that, guys.